Hello and welcome to the Empowered Body Method podcast with your host Greg Theron. And today, for the second time, or is it the third time? Very few people get the freepeat. Alicia Reitz is back. Angel Ishbit is back to drop some knowledge bombs. How
Hello.
are you?
I'm so happy to be back. You're like my first podcast, and I mean, this is a limited edition, I think.
Yeah. This is, free peaks don't happen very, very often in my world. So,
no.
you know, but
No.
technically it's the fourth because you've also come and spoken to my clients as well. So,
oh, yeah. That was such a great day. I'm still waiting for the recording on that one, by the way. It's probably gone now, but whatever.
I knew she was going to get me with that, right?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
Okay.
That's
cool.
All right.
Let's, shall we?
I just wanted to say, like, you know, I earned this three-peat because a few weeks back you posted that our last episode together was your most popular episode.
Yes, it
So,
was. So
I don't know. I don't know if it's the accent on my part, I guess, because for a lot of your listeners, whenever I listen to your podcast, everybody sounds like you. Nobody sounds like me. So
yeah,
little love letter from Canada.
Yeah, your accent is very distinctive. I've had a few of the Americans on, but not many Canadians. In fact, you're the only Canadian. So, yeah. Do you want to do a very quick intro? Firstly, just to remind
yeah,
me
I'd love to.
of your awesomeness.
Oh, well, you know, thank you so much. My name is Alicia Reitz. I am a midlife resilience coach. And I was a secondary school teacher for 15 years. My background is in exercise science, kinesiology. I have an honors degree from McMaster University. And I've been doing fitness and health education and dance education for almost a couple of decades now. And about coming up on 2 years ago now, I pivoted from my teaching career to helping women over 40 really start to shift what they think of themselves, how they speak to themselves, how they behave, and the things that they do to look after themselves. When I started this, when I started this project, it was very much just a fitness thing. And as I learned more and more and more about my demographic and who I wanted to work with, there were way more similarities between the women I was working with and the teen girls that I was working with previously in my teaching career. And you can't just, you know, throw a training program and a nutrition plan at them and go, okay, good luck, see you. There's a lot to unpack, and there's a lot of mindset shift that needs to happen. And so that's, I think, been the most exciting part, is learning how I can best help my clients move forward. And especially, I find the biggest thing is that toxic diet culture of the 90s that we all came through. And it was just about anything you could do to be smaller. It didn't matter how unhealthy you were, whatever. You know, I think about Sheryl Crow and her, you know, her caffeine and nicotine diet, right? Like, it's like, I don't think she was actually on that. That was just in one of her songs. But that's when I think of the 90s, it's like, whatever you need to do to be as skinny as possible, that's what you do. And it's unbelievable how many of us are still carrying that and still struggling with that. Even, I know on one of my group calls, we were talking about very close relatives, parents, aunts, uncles, who would comment on our bodies as young teens and tell us how fat we were and tell us, you know, what we needed to do to look better. And it's kind of crazy. You think it's just you. And when we all get together and start talking about shared experiences and the similar experiences that we had, it's been a very special evolution of what I'm doing with these women. And it's incredibly rewarding. And I'm super excited to see what the next year brings, because we're just, our community is growing and expanding. And I'm actually planning an in real life retreat, Step Into Your Power retreat next year. What are you pointing at you for?
I want to invite. Like, so
You can help my partner because he's going to be there too, making sure everything runs smoothly, but he's going to have to, disappear for some time. So you guys can go disappear and go stand up paddleboarding or something.
Perfect. We can go to the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. There's two of them. So that there's two of them on the property. So it's very cool. It's in a blue zone in Costa Rica. So we've been talking a lot about that too, about what that means and looking at what it is that makes these blue zones, especially in Costa Rica, so special and mm-hmm. so sort of health promoting and wellness promoting. So it's been an interesting year. So I'm super excited to get into it with you and wrap up this year and talk about some of the craziness that you and I have discussed over the last 12 months or so.
Oh, it's Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And this is why we get on so well, because we're so aligned in our thinking and what we've experienced and seen. And, you know, hey, yes, I'm a man, but I've seen the damage that just the world, capitalism, puts on women about their health. And mm-hmm. this is why we jam so much, because we see exactly the same things. So this is why I love it. So we're going to break down some of the crazy we've seen over the last year, just to help the ladies listening to this podcast hear the right things.
Yeah, I love your ability to cut through the noise. There's just so much noise. And I think, let me do an attempt without sounding too stupid, static, that there is. It's like static.
Static. I love it. I love
static.
It.
Static. How did I do? Yeah. It's so insidious, because there's like this little kernel of truth in this stuff, and you go, okay, yeah, that's right. And then the next step is complete bullshit. And it's so hard. It's so hard to chase it all down. There's a podcast that I listen to. It's called Conspirituality, and it's fantastic. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's fantastic. And they do sort of call out, conspiracy theories, but also a lot of it has to do, it creeps into the wellness space. And they talk about something called Gish Gallop, where these people spout bullshit so fast, people that are trying to explain the bullshit just can't even keep up. Because by the time you've explained one thing away and given your evidence and your citations and your receipts, they're on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And you just can't outrun it. So but we're going to do our best today.
No, we're going to do great, because we are good people. We can do this. All right. So do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay. All right.
Age before beauty. That's how that goes.
But you win in both categories. So what happens then?
Yeah, that's true. So that means, as the winner, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, cool. Got it. All right. So here's the really big one that I'm hearing so much is insulin. Oh. And that insulin is going to make everybody fat, and that you need to manage your insulin and all of that stuff. And although there's a small kernel, as you said, of truth in what insulin does, like, there are no such thing as bad hormones unless there is a problem with the hormone. It's too much.
Right.
And it's used as a way to scare people, I think scare women, because when we mention things like hormones, it means there's something that we can't fix. So rather than teaching you how to fix it, sleep, protein, fiber, exercise properly, don't overeat, they give you this random insulin fixing solution, which actually is diet, sleep, exercise, stress,
right,
but wrapped up in this magical solution. And
yes, that only they have.
That only they have, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably the big one for me this year has been insulin. I listened to an influencer who said, this is his words pretty much, you need to manage insulin. It's not about calories. Then he said in the next line, you've got enough calories on your belly. And you're like, hang on a minute, you just said calories don't matter. But I was just like, wow.
Wow. And this is the thing, you know, this is what I mean when I say static and noise, where that's all just meop, 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 meop. They don't even know what they're talking about. And you're right. This it's so to listen to the way people scare women into, you know, paralysis, essentially. They're so afraid to make a mistake. And the insulin thing, you know, when you say insulin, the next thing that pops up into my head is cortisol.
Oh.
Cortisol makes you fat, independent of energy intake. No, nothing makes you fat independent of energy intake. Nothing. Yes, there's, yes. Have you, cortisol can make you eat more. Has anybody ever heard of a stress eater? Of course you have. Stress means that there's cortisol in your bloodstream. And if stress makes you eat, then yes, you need to manage your stress by sleeping and eating well and exercising. And it, like, but it's just, it's not sexy enough. We're sexy enough, but the concepts are just too, like, commonsensical. And I say that knowing that there's no such thing as common sense on the planet anymore. But, you know, you're so right. And you and I have had numerous conversations about that. They'll go way off into left field about insulin, cortisol, you know, but it all comes back to the same thing, the same things to manage it. But they can't make money on that. You can't make money on people going for a walk. So it has to be the supplement. Like it's so infuriating. It's so infuriating. I, you know, my thing, another thing that bothers me is if you walk too fast or too much, you'll get fat.
What?
Yeah. If you walk too fast or too much, you'll get fat because cortisol. And, you know, yeah. So you need to make sure that you're walking slow enough to take these supplements that they're selling. It's so insulting. It's so insulting. But this is what I'm saying. Like, I, you know, I sent you a message the other day where I was like, am I wrong? Like, people are getting fat independent of energy intake. Like, am I wrong? And because it starts to make you think, like, am I? So many people are talking about how, is it me?
Yeah,
that's what I start to, it's them, right? Like, and this is why we talk regularly, because it's like, wait, did you see this? Like, it's insane. It's insane. And we know this. We know what the thing is. The thing is not the thing, but there's just so much of it out there. And this is the thing, with your background, with my background, with your experience, with my experience, if we are seeing things and going, wait, imagine how everyone else feels.
Mm.
People that are asking us and looking to us for the real shit. And this is, and you know, we were talking about this being a 2023 wrap up and going into 2024. So I want to revisit this, but just a little teaser, you know, I think in 2024 and beyond, real shit is going to make a comeback.
Oh, yes. Hell yes. Hell yes.
Because people are tired.
People are confused.
Mm-hmm.
And I think truth tellers will prevail even, because people need to hear truth right now. And all of this hormone stuff, often what they do is they play on the fact that most of the people who listen to this podcast aren't going to be like us. We're not going to whip out the big textbook that we got when we got our degrees. We're going to be the people that will spend 5 hours going through 20 research papers to make sure they all align, and we've got a meta-analysis and we've got peer-reviewed studies. But they know that, you know, Diane, who's working hard every day, is going to go, oh, that sounds like the solution. I'm not going to read the scientific paper behind it. So then she's like, oh, it must be my cortisol.
Right. Right. It's really upsetting to see that, because people are, you know, the women that I work with are all afraid of the wrong things. They're afraid of carbohydrates. They're afraid of too much food. They're afraid of, like, not doing enough to earn that food, but they're not afraid. What they need to be afraid of is alcohol. What they need to be afraid of is not getting enough sleep. What they need to be afraid of is not lifting weights for their bone density, for their muscle tissue, for their confidence, for their mental health, for the, like, on and on and on and on and on. But I blame the industry for doing a really bad job, and people that, you know, that they think they're a fitness expert because they have a nice body. Great. What the hell? Have we seen every professional athlete? Does that make them a good coach? Not automatically. Some of them, yes, but the vast majority, no. They have no idea how the sausage is made. They just do what they're told.
Yeah, by a coach who's normally qualified.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Funny that. I'll tell you who's the latest one. There's a guy on the internet now, Gary Brecker.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. Is this the one who says that you run out of carbohydrate in like 20 minutes or something like that? Run out of glucose in 20 minutes?
Yeah, you run this out of glycogen in your muscles within 20 minutes of you working out. I'm trying to work out how these marathon runners are alive today. Like,
how did they not dissolve into a puddle of goo? That was the other thing. Your muscles turned to liquid in like 3 minutes or some bullshit.
Just like, what? But here's the thing. If you break down a lot of these videos, he's very clever. So one of his videos, he's like, he does this thing where he tells all the women, you are smarter than men. So obviously all the women are like, yes, this is true. And then it becomes this, like, you know, that these churches, especially in America, where it's like every word the preacher says, everyone just says yes to. So it's a very, yeah,
yes. That's it.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I used to go to church. I know all about this. But once you've got one yes, and this is a bit of psychology for everybody. Once you've got one or two yeses, people are more likely to keep saying yes. So he's got this thing, you know, women are smarter than men. You have bigger brains. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your muscles are going to turn into goo within 3 minutes of you working out. Yes. That's what happened to me. I was doing too much HIIT. No, you weren't. You were eating too much food.
That's right. Yeah. I know. And you know, people, this is why I don't spend time breaking these things down, because people like Lane Norton, Alan Aragon, people like that are the best at breaking this stuff down, pulling up the citations, looking at the studies, looking at the difference between rat studies and human randomized control trials, right? Which people do not understand the difference between those things. We are not rats. We are not, you know, like, our bodies are different than rat bodies. It's crazy. Like, and so I don't pretend to be able to do what Lane does or what Alan does or what Bill Campbell does. And I have to tell you, I was in Orlando in October at the NCI summit. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the privilege of seeing all three of them speak and share their latest research and latest insights and stuff. And it was amazing to be able to look at their process and how they do stuff and what they found. And it's like, you can't package this up and bring this to the masses in this way. Like, you can't. People are just like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. And so, you know, I feel like you and I, we boil all that down and go, do this. I want to be your Google. from now on. You're not allowed to Google anything ever again. When I have a new client that I work with, the first thing I tell them, you're not Googling anything anymore. You're not Googling if this is true, if that's true. Do I do this? Does fat make you fat? Do carbs make you fat? Does walking too fast make you fat? No, you ask me, because we are the information gatherers. We are the synthesizers. We are the people that read all that boring shit and bring it to you. Package it up really nice. It's still not sexy, but it's packaged, and bring it to you without selling you some bullshit supplement or making you so afraid of food and movement that you don't even know what to do anymore. I think one of the best things about going to that conference was the confirmation to sit there and know, like, to that gets rid of all the gaslighting from the rest of the industry, the wellness grifters. And you go, yeah, that's right. I fucking know that. That's right. That's exactly right. You go, thank God. Like, the people in the industry that are on the ground doing shit, finding exactly what you would expect them to find, you know?
Oh, Lord. So now you've mentioned rats.
Yes.
I need to talk about fasting.
Oh, yes. Please, let's talk about fasting.
Autophagy.
Yes.
And
yes,
intermittent fasting is the only way. Like, let's just sum it up. If you miss a meal every day, mm-hmm. you are restricting your calories.
Correct.
Now, I think what's happened is, and I get it, a lot of women have had trauma with overly restricted diets.
Yes.
Yeah. Beyonce's cayenne pepper and honey diet. You know, the goop.
We're going to find out about her one day. I'm just saying.
I don't believe in Beyonce at all, one shape. I do not trust her, Jay-Z.
No shade. There's something going on there. But anyway.
Anyway. But yeah.
Rihanna, though. Love her.
Oh, yeah. Rihanna. Every day. Yeah, yeah. Every day.
Every day. Every day. All day.
But yeah, the thing about the whole fasting thing is this, right? Like, some people work really well with it. Some people don't. The literature mm-hmm. is clear that there is no significant difference between someone who exercises fasted versus someone who exercises in a fed state, as long as calories are equated, if the goal is fat loss. Many people don't perform as well if they are not in a fed state. So if you want to fast, fast. But for the women that are listening, this is one thing I will say to you. If you have a problem with snacking in the evening, I guarantee you're probably going to be an intermittent faster, because you will be like, I'm going to just survive on coffee till 12 o'clock because those are the rules. And then you will try and compensate for it throughout the day with other food. Just wake up and have some breakfast. Seriously. Like, nothing's going to happen to you. I promise.
Yeah, there is no magic in intermittent fasting. It is another way to create a calorie deficit. That's it. And I have people that are in businesses or doing jobs that have super, super busy times and then not as busy times in the day. And, you know, if you have a super busy morning up until, you know, noon or 11 o'clock in the morning, and you want to shift, people that say, I'm really not hungry in the morning, I don't really feel like eating in the morning. Great. Hydrate. Make sure that you have something with a good amount of protein and some carbohydrate ready, so that you don't grab. There's nothing worse than starting your day with a muffin or some shit. Like, it's the worst. It's the worst. So make sure that you have something ready for you when you are hungry. But like, if you're not hungry in the morning, don't eat until you're ready. Make sure you're hydrated. If you're someone that likes, you know, three squares, or, you know, you like it, you enjoy breakfast, it gets you going, it's great. But there's no advantage one way or the other. Doesn't matter when or how you get those calories. There is one thing though, people that have an entire giant, I hate this word, but bolus of protein, like when they have it all at once, it doesn't work as well as when you spread it out 30 to 40 grams at a time. You can only take up so much at a time. So try and spread that out at least over, you know, three meals, optimally about four times a day. But other than that, if you like bigger meals, have bigger meals. If you like smaller meals, have smaller meals. At the end of the day, you're right. When you equate for protein intake, for calories, it's all the same shit. Whatever you like, whatever works for you, whatever's going to work for you today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Because, you know, what I find the sexiest thing about everything that people are doing and that we're trying to get people to do, the sexiest thing is consistency. That's the magic sauce. That is the magic sauce that's going to bring you where you want to be. Anybody can do anything for a week, for 2 weeks, for these fucking 30-day challenges.
Oh, I feel a bit sick.
And it's happening already, right? Like this time of year, I don't know about you. I know that, like, I almost hate this. Like, I don't know about you, but the part I like least about my business is marketing. That's the part I like the least, because it's like, I just want to zag when everybody zigs, right? I'm just like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And my inbox is just flooded with Christmas stuff and all of that shit. And I'm just like, no, I just want to hang back until, but you know, it's already starting the resolution stuff, the 30-day challenge stuff, the jumpstart, the this, the that, da, 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 da. No, 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 just start, get some momentum.
I think this is why, and I'm just going to be out there and honest, I like to work with women that are pretty much self-led already, because they're not they've evolved past the 28-day kickstart, the 5-day challenge. I refuse to do any of that. I refuse to do any of that marketing, because that's what it is. The kickstart is an appeal to your lesser self. It says, you know, you need something to bump you. I refuse to do it. People have come to me, Greg, you should do a 5-day challenge. Well, no, we know that if 100 people go into a 5-day challenge, 1% will actually continue it afterwards. And they will go and hunt for another 5-day challenge. And you see it all the time, right? I've seen other coaches out there, sorry, coaches, who do 5-day challenges.
Not sorry.
Yeah, I ain't sorry, really. They do a challenge every, and it's the same people. It's the same people just doing challenges and not getting anywhere. I can't work with that anymore. I refuse to. I only want to work with people who want to make a change so they can show up in their business and their life the way they want to.
And that's 100%.
It's going to be inconsistency. So you will get no quick fixes here. Sorry.
No. And this, I love that rant. That was phenomenal, because immediately no to the quick fix, to the jumpstart, to the challenge, to the, like, absolutely not. It's because that already sends a message to everybody's brain that this is temporary. And it's not. It needs to be incorporated into your life. This is just a thing you do now until they dig a hole for you. And I know people don't want to hear that. They go, wait a second. Do you mean to tell me that once I get into shape, I have to stay in shape? Yes. Yes, Joey. Yes.
But you wouldn't start a business and then stop after 30 days, would you?
So no.
My next relationship, I'm going to do a 30-day relationship challenge. I'm going to be in a relationship for 30 days and I'm going to stop. Like, seriously. You wouldn't do that in any other avenue of your life. And if the health is the foundation of everything you do, why are you treating yourself like that?
Bro, we have enough inconsistency with relationships. Like, stop already. Like, I've some of my clients are like, you should do a dating course. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think I have the strength. I honestly don't. It's like, I thought about it. I was like, no, you know what? I can't. I just can't. I can't with people these days. It's awful. And you're right. Like in any other place in your life, a 30-day challenge is the dumbest thing ever. You would never do that in any other aspect of your life. But for some reason, we are very comfortable playing fast and loose with our health. And you know, the other thing you and I talked about, I know that I should pay attention to my health, but A, B, C, D, E. And I'll, you know, as soon as I get this settled, I'll start. As soon as this happens, I'll start. As soon as I'm done with this. And this is like, people have so many things in their life that they prioritize ahead of their own health and fitness, mental health, physical health, especially aging, 40s, 50s, 60s. And the ironic thing is, you have all these other things in your life, but if something goes wrong with your health, there is only one thing.
Reach.
And I don't want people, I'm trying to prevent as many women as possible from finding that out the hard way.
Yes.
It's just, it's not worth it to play that game, to play that Russian roulette game. What day is it going to be? I was listening on the radio this morning. I'm sure you're aware of Celine Dion. Very famous,
yes,
Canadian singer.
I know she's going through some ill health right now.
Horrible. And I'm not sure about the origins of this syndrome. It's called, oh my gosh.
It's like a stiff body condition. Yeah.
Stiff person syndrome. She's lost all control of her muscles at this point. Yeah, I know. And the thing is, like, it's, I don't want to, you know, bring the mood down, but there are very, very serious things that happen to people that once you're in that space, it's very difficult to get out. Prevention is, I mean, that things are a saying for a reason. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And if you can, and of course, we can't control everything. We can't control, you know, things that just happen because of genetic predisposition or you know, acute whatever. Like, no, we can't. But wouldn't you want to control the shit that you can control?
Look, the data is very clear, right? When you exercise and you have an aerobic fitness and you have the right level of strength and you can get up the floor, the data says it very clearly. Your length of life and your quality of life is going to be exponentially better. And this is going to lead me onto a really controversial point, and I might upset people. I might even upset you.
I'm so excited.
I've stopped talking about menopause in my content. And here's the reason. There are so many people out there right now. There's a Dr. Mary Haver. I've heard, that's the
oh
one.
Oh my God.
Oh, who
she's
are
awful.
She's awful, but she's up in lights now. She's recently on Stephen Bartlett. He's Diary of an Entrepreneur. He's like he's a big thing. And he was on there. And she blocked me because I called her.
I know.
She blocked me because I called her out on her low calorie recipe book.
Mm-hmm.
I calculated the calories and it was about 1,400 calories. And what I see out there is a lot of people, a lot of coaches who actually don't understand hormones, who don't understand physiology, who don't understand nutrition, are using menopause as a marketing tool. And what they're saying is, you know, oh, you can't do the things in menopause that you used to do. Now, we know that there might be some energy dips. There's going to be some hormonal fluctuations. But the tenets of great nutrition don't change in whatever area of your life, And that's why I stopped talking about menopause. I just want to talk about women who want to make the second half of their life better. And all these menopause diets and all of this, you know, oh, you shouldn't be doing that exercise if you're a menopause. What? Are you crazy? You're diminishing the women by doing that. And it drives me mad. So I've talked about menopause.
You know, I was nervous there for a second about what you were going to say, but I'm actually right on board with you with that, because menopause is being marketed as some, because for decades and decades and decades, women have not talked about this. They when we all went through puberty, we all talked about our periods. We all talked about what we were going through. When we were pregnant, we were all talking about what that was like. But then we don't talk about menopause. So it's been this traditionally secret, suffer in silence, mysterious, horrible thing, this specter. And so now that the marketers have gotten a hold of it, they use that mystery, they use that secrecy, they use that to make it seem like this condition that all of a sudden you lose all control over your body betrays you, nothing works anymore, you have to do everything completely differently. And it's like, physiology doesn't change. And you and I have talked about this, the other, you know, word that seems to be sort of cycling out of favor right now is metabolism.
Oh God.
And that your metabolism just goes for a shit in menopause. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It does not. The research is clear. Your metabolism stays essentially the same from the time you're 19 until you're in your mid 60s. The same. And people don't want to believe that. They're like, no, but I gained all this weight. Yeah, but that's not because your metabolism slowed down. It's because you're drinking more. It's because you're sitting around more. It's because you're not, right? Like, yes, maybe you're gaining weight in midlife, but it's largely lifestyle. It has nothing to do with your metabolism. And the marketers using menopause as a way to tell women, forget everything you've ever heard, because everything's different now. You can't, everything, things that worked for you when you were 30 aren't going to work anymore. And women go, what the fuck? Now what do I do? Well, luckily, these people also have the solution.
My secret,
and it's in a bottle.
Yeah.
You talk about Mary Haver, and every time I see a Happy Mammoth ad, I don't know if you've seen these.
No, I've not seen that.
They're the worst. Oh, they have a hormone quiz. Find out what your hormone type is. Find out what this is. These are the ads that tell you, you know, if you walk too fast or too much, you're going to gain belly fat, blah, blah, blah. Right. And then they sell the supplements, and it like wipes out every symptom of menopause within 28 days. Fuck all the way off.
You shared a post and you had a rant, and it was a beautiful rant about fasting by body type.
Yes.
I was
by
like,
age. Fasting by age.
That's it, yeah. And it's funny because they're doing it to men now. So the same adverts coming up for guys. And you just got me thinking about Dr. Mindy Pels. Have you heard
oh
of her?
God. Yes.
So this is the
She
lady.
Blocked you too, didn't she?
No, I managed to find a way back. I just
okay.
Yeah. But she went on a podcast and said that intermittent fasting raised testosterone in men by 3,000%.
Yeah, no.
No.
No. No, but the problem is you have men like Dana White, who, like, I'm sorry, is he a physiologist? Is he a nutritionist? He's nothing. And the latest thing now is the 72-hour fasts for men to raise their testosterone, to drop body fat. It's funny, when women do it, it's an eating disorder. But when men do it, it's super masculine. What?
No. See, here, this is the thing now. I'm going to have to call you out on that one. I'm sorry.
All right.
If you do it under the guise of a water fast, you can do up to 96 hours and it's okay. But if you have disordered eating, that's different.
Right. So different. The difference is the vagina. That's the difference.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a water fast and an eating disorder?
Well,
the vagina. That's it. That's the difference.
It depends, you see. Because with Dr. Mindy Pels, you see, the thing is, if you It depends on where you are in your cycle will determine the type of fast that you do.
Right.
So,
Well, I think the funniest one in the rant that I did about fasting by age was the 0 and 24. Like, you just never eat ever again. Like, you fast for 24 hours and eat for zero, and you're like, okay, isn't that called dying? Like, I don't like you just after 65, you just don't eat ever again. You just put yourself out on an ice floe and just drift out into nothingness. Wait for a seal to eat you. Like, it's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And it's like, does anybody even like look at this? Look at the infographics are the funniest. If you actually look at it and read what it says, it's just like, this is the dumbest shit ever. But for Dana White to come out and be giving health advice is so hilarious to me.
but
I can't even with this guy.
this is the power of celebrity, isn't it? I mean, we put celebrities on a pedestal, so they can literally say anything they want. If they can sing well, if they got money, they can literally, do anything. And it's really funny, right? So the other day I was speaking to a woman who was, oh, but Greg, if I don't eat, my metabolism is going to slow down. So this is why I'm not losing weight. So I'm in starvation mode. So calm down. Take a breath. For anyone watching, Alicia's trying not to, combust right here. So I said, "Okay, you're old enough to remember Band-Aid, right? Do they know it's crit? Do you remember that?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "That was for starving children, and women, of course. But if you see the videos of them, they look very skeletal, right? There's no muscle, there's no fat. What do you think was happening to them?" And I think it's because we forget that these things happen. We forget that there was famine in India that destroyed the lives of millions. We forget there's famine. So therefore, it's not in our faces. So that means I now market the fact that you're in starvation mode. And that's what's making you gain weight because the body's trying to protect you. But surely the body would want to be able to fuel your brain and your heart and stuff. It doesn't make sense. Like your heart beats, but yet the body's trying to hold on to it. Make it make sense.
It makes zero sense. It makes zero sense. The one thing, if somebody wants to talk about hyperphagy or hyperphagia, if you want to talk about that, okay, we can have a conversation about that, where you've over-restricted and now your brain goes, okay, let's slam our faces down into as much food as we can possibly find. If you want to talk about starvation mode in that context, fine, then I'll have a conversation with you that when you over restrict, you're going to overeat. And people forget that they've overeaten and they go, it's because I'm not eating enough. That's why. Yeah, that's what's triggering your binge. And when you over restrict over too much time, hyperphagia is going to take over. And it is an uncontrollable appetite, drive. A physiological drive to eat to protect you. That's what our bodies do.
But you see, because there's guilt in the binge, you see. So therefore, people will say, "Well, I've only eaten lettuce and broccoli for a whole week. I'm not losing weight." And then when you question more, you have that conversation eventually, little bits. "Oh yeah, I did eat out that one." Like, okay, cool. Then before you know it, you're like, "Listen, you're on about 4,000 calories a day. You need to wind that back."
That's not starvation. That's no.
But this is
And
what has happened in the world. And I'm just going to be very honest. I know many women will be triggered by the words diet and calories.
yes.
But what happens is marketers play on that trauma, because that's what marketing is finding the enemy to then sell you something else, the same thing by a different name. That's all that happens.
100%.
That's it.
Yep. Create a problem, sell them the solution.
Exactly.
That's all that is. And when, and once you realize that, and that's why you and I are so valuable to our clients, because we will give them the real shit. We don't have an investment in selling them bullshit, because, you know, if we do that and they don't get the results, then, right, then we're finished.
And breathe.
So,
I mean, even today on Facebook, I saw a woman, there was an advert come through about hypno weight loss. So this woman had said she bought the program and she was doing it, but she hadn't lost any weight.
Okay.
So I commented and said, well, what else have you been doing outside this hypno weight loss?
Mm-hmm.
She said nothing. And I was like, well, maybe that's the problem. Like...
You're not super popular on Facebook, are you? No.
What it is that we are truth tellers. And
yes.
it's very easy to try and get sucked into playing the popularity game, which is what a lot of these influencers do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, like you say, with our clients, I love my clients because they're bored of the BS. They're bored of the bullshit.
Yes. Yes.
They want to know what to do. And once I tell them, they go and do it. So some track calories, some don't, but they all understand how energy balance works.
Right. Exactly.
Done.
Yeah. And this is, you know, this is something that I know we wanted to make the second half of this a little bit more hopeful now that our rants are all done.
Yeah.
So
they're all done.
Are we done? Are we done with the rants?
I think what I need to do is we need to part them and now move into part two.
Yeah.
Yeah,
into looking forward, right? Looking forward. And I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about how, and even at this conference that I was at, they talked about the average lifespan of a fitness influencer is about 18 months. And then they burn out because they just run out of bullshit to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so the good news for you and for me and for other truth tellers and people that actually give a shit about their clients, and making sustainable, healthy, positive change, is that we are going to be the ones who are left. And I think in 2024 and beyond, people are getting hip to this bullshit, this, you know, creating this fear and then selling you the solution. And looking at, you know, does this even make sense? And starting to look for people, hey, I've seen this Greg Fearon guy. He's been around for years. This Angelish Fit chick, she's been around for years. And the message is consistent. It never wavers. It never pivots. It never goes to that place. And I, you know, one of the messages that I sent you this week was, you know, someone that I've followed for quite a while and been like, yeah, you know what? I like that. I like that. I like that. And then all of a sudden they make this left turn and you go, oh no. And you go, and this, but I think, you know, this next stage in the space is going to be for those of us that have not wavered from the real shit. And I think that's good news, not just for us, but for the people that we work with, for them to know that we're not going to bait and switch on them, that we're not going to take them in the wrong direction. And that feels good when someone comes to you because they trust you. They've seen you for weeks or months or years and been like, I'm ready to make a change now. And this is who I want to work with. And those are the clients that do the best, that know who I am, know what I'm about, know what they're getting, and work the process, fall in love with it, notice the changes that aren't necessarily about getting smaller all the time. Sometimes it's about getting stronger. Sometimes it's about changing your composition. Sometimes it's about changing your mindset. Sometimes it's about fixing your sleep. Sometimes it's about getting rid of the things that don't work in your life. And that is super, super rewarding to see people making incredible shifts and changes in their lives that they're going to take with them for the next, what, 4 or 5 decades? And that That is incredible work and incredible things that we're putting out into the world. And it feels good to be moving forward in that way. Like it's, you know, when people, you know, when my clients text me and tell me something that they've achieved for the first time or something they've realized for the first time, and you're like, yeah, like there's nothing like that.
I've just had so many thoughts as you were going into that, because we're both martial artists.
Yes, we are.
But I'm a part-time martial artist. I don't practice as much as I should do anymore. However, I can still do all of my forms that I learned 20, 30 years ago. People go, oh, but Greg, how did you remember that? Because I practiced it regularly. Same for you with BJJ, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, for those of you listening. So Alicia will throw you to the ground and turn your body into a pretzel if you mess with her. scary, huh? Again, you have to rehearse those movements again and again before they become automatic. So actually what we're trying to do, and if you go to work with Alicia, work with myself, we're trying to build a skill so that your life and the way you want to live becomes effortless. We give you the ability to give yourself true love, true self-love.
I love that. Absolutely. Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
I love his insights because he's done it all, right? Like, I don't know if there's a 3-part documentary on him on Netflix, and it's 3 parts because the first part is his bodybuilding career, which was incredibly impressive. Just some kid in Graz, just with a dream, right? And like, and worrying his parents with a bunch of posters of oiled up men on his walls, right? The second part is his incredible film career, right? His movie career, acting career. And then the third part is his political career in the United States. And it's just, and his wisdom about, you know, making so much of your daily routine automatic that it's not about motivation. It's not about waiting to be motivated. It's not about any of that. Motivation is bullshit. I'm not motivated to go to jiu-jitsu class. I'm not motivated to go to the gym. It's just what I do because I know that it'll make my life better. And it does. It makes my day better, makes my mood better, makes my sleep better, makes everything better. And so, you know, it's not about gearing yourself up to do any of those things. It's like, no, this is just what you do. This is what you do. And the more that we can instill that in people and to learn to enjoy that and not be like, oh, I'm not motivated. And having that internal dialogue with yourself, like, no, shut that shit down. You're just get in the car, bitch. Get in the car.
Just
or
do
get
it.
Your shoes on. Yeah. Just do it. You know? But I love his insight into, you know, it's not about motivation. It's about momentum.
Yes.
And there's nobody does discipline like Arnold. Nobody.
And he still trains every day.
Yeah. He's in his, what, mid-70s?
Yeah. But it's because, and this is a really big insight. You just made me really think about something that's really, really important. Many women I hear will say, I hate the gym. And I want to just, I get it, because the gym is potentially somewhere where it's scary. There's people who are doing better than you, who know what they're doing. You don't know what you're doing. But here's the thing, and this is the one thing I will leave you with after this little bit of a rant, bit of a preach. The gym isn't a building. The gym is your body. And when you start to accept it, because you can do the squat in your front room, or you can do the squat in another building. You can do it in a field. You can do it at a running track. You can do it while you're waiting in the queue at the post office. The gym is your body.
I love that.
Because the weights don't move themselves. You move yourself. So when you start to do this thing about, I hate my body, what you're saying is, I hate how I move and my ability to move. So that's, I just want to say to the ladies listening, and I'm sure you embody this, that Don't hate the gym. The actual building we know as a gym is an amazing place, and you will transform your life by going regularly. However, the gym is you. It's your body that does the squats, and it doesn't matter whether you go to another building, whether you do it in your front room, that's the gym. And when you start to love that, you're on fire.
You're so right about that. I love that. And actually, when you were talking about the building, like, I was thinking about the jiu-jitsu gym too, right? It's like, it's not the building, it's the place where you do your work. You do that work, you do that learning. And all you need, usually when women will say to me, I'm not motivated or I don't like the gym, it's because they lack clarity of what they need to do. They lack a plan of what they need to do. And they lack accountability. And so, as coaches, that's what we give them. We give them that clarity. We provide that accountability. And so now they have a plan when they go in, and they can feel confident knowing that what they need to do. Because when people are procrastinating and putting things off, it's because they're not clear about what they're supposed to do. When they have confidence of, this is all I need to do, I just need to do this thing. Great. So do the thing. And you go, it's more about, I'm afraid because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm going to do the wrong thing. So it's the best way not to do the wrong thing is to not do anything. And I totally agree with you. It doesn't matter where you do the thing. Doesn't matter where you make that change, have that learning. But my jiu-jitsu gym is a place that I've been going to for over a decade. For it's been a complete vehicle for self-development, and that's what going to the gym is. It's not just about picking shit up and putting it down again. It's a vehicle to develop your entire life. And once people see it that way and realize this is where I go to transform my entire fucking life, it makes that a lot more attractive. And especially when you have a plan going in and you know what you're supposed to do that day, it's amazing how many people will say, yeah, I don't really know what to do. So, like, I go to the gym and I don't know, I pick this up and then I do a little bit of, and then I do some sit-ups and then I don't know what else to do. So I just leave. And you're like, well, no wonder you hate the gym. It's just a big, confusing, clanking, grunting building of people. So I love that the gym is you. I think that's so great. I think that's so great. And when you realize that it's you, I gotta write that one down. That's gonna be like my new mantra. The
The
gym is
gym is
you,
you.
bitch.
The gym
The
is
gym is
you.
you.
Oh, yeah. And then the second part really is like you just said, we try to separate the brain from the body.
Nope.
Brain is in the body, constantly talking to every part of you. So this is the thing, we move mindset over here, we move physical health over here. No, it's health. Because if you want to feel better, get up and move. I've seen people, in fact, as of this point, I know someone who today who was really struggling in their work today, just all over the place, did a session, cried in the middle of the session, and then
Oh.
came back and then finished the session and was like, yeah, I feel better. Because you're talking to your brain, you're saying, I can do hard things. I can do things despite how I feel. And that's where
Yep.
true excellence comes in, right? We talked about Rihanna. I'm sure there were days when she felt like she didn't want to go and practice her singing. She didn't want to re-record that verse of a song because it didn't sound quite right. But she still did it.
How about not wanting to practice her Super Bowl dance while 7 months pregnant? Like, I don't want to do that shit. But look at her. Iconic.
But the world is really strange. People will say to us, oh, but you and Alicia, you're health freaks. Well, surely the thing you want to be the most freakish about is your health. Because without it,
100%.
you can't enjoy life. You can't grow your business. You can't have great relationships. If you haven't got a great relationship with sit with self, how can you do all the other stuff? And I think the world has made people feel weak and disempowered.
I agree. Yeah, that's so powerful what you just said. That how do you expect to crush your life in any other aspect if you feel like shit and you're dragging your ass through your day? Like you talked about, you know, having a rough day and getting a bout of exercise in, and it makes everything magically better. I feel the same way about a good night's sleep. It's amazing how many problems, how many things get a lot smaller or get so much more manageable when you've had a good night's sleep. You know, and how many people are walking around chronically sleep deprived, wondering why they can't get out of their bad mood or why they can't solve their problems or why they can't make their lives better. You're fucking exhausted.
It's my hormones.
My metabolism's too slow.
That's it, yeah, metabolism. It's because I'm starving. But we're starving ourselves of the wrong things. You said it earlier. Like, I really want people who listen to this podcast to go and indulge in the things that are going to make you better. Your body composition, how you eat, how you have quiet time. If anyone wants to hear it, there's a guy called Paul Check, and he was ridiculed in the fitness industry many years ago by not being so evidence-based, but he's a little bit quirky. He goes into some very deep stuff, you know, shadow work and stuff, but he has this thing called Dr. Happy, Dr. Quiet, Dr. Movement, and Dr. Quiet, Dr. Happy, Dr. Diet, Dr. Movement, Dr. Happy. I've forgotten. But there's four. Anyway, four quadrants. And what he says is, if you don't have happiness in one of these areas, it's going to affect the other three.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. If you don't have happiness, there's a good chance that you won't be able to have quiet. If you don't have quiet, you won't want to have the diet down. If you don't want to have, if you don't have the diet down, the movement's going to be worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Really
interesting.
Awesome. So,
something I would like to say to people to carry into the new year is, and this is something that I hear from a lot of my clients, is either thinking or beating themselves up for thinking that it's too late for them to change. Because you and I both work with women that are over 40, mm-hmm. and thinking it's too late for me. I'm too far gone. And I want to put this forward because this is something, this is kind of a personal thing that I've been very, very excited about. So when my kids were small, I worked out in my garage for 15 years. And, you know, as we all found out over COVID, you know, home fitness is better than no fitness. But there are limitations to it. And I think sometimes you get comfortable in the things that you're doing at home. And it was good. It was good for me. It kept me consistent over those years when my kids were small and I had a lot of responsibilities and a very busy life. And now my children are both in their 20s and both moved out. And so in the spring of 2022, I decided to go back to the gym, to the commercial gyms. I hadn't been to a gym in 15 years. And I thought, you know, this will be a nice way to, you know, kind of reignite my passion for lifting and looking at how much it's changed and being, I was a real gym rat in the early 90s, right? Like I used to compete and stuff like that. So, I was thinking, you know, this is because I'm in my 50s now. I need to just maintain. Like, I don't know how much capacity I would have to change my physique at this time. And Greg, I have to tell you, it's now the end of 2023 and there's been a huge change in my physique going back to the gym and learning new things and learning about the latest research about splits and intensity and what works for hypertrophy and, you know, the discarding some of the old shit about, you know, this rep range for strength, this rep range for hypertrophy, this rep range for endurance. Nope. It's all good. And the changes that I've seen in my own physique, and you know as well as I do that once you get to a certain point, the changes are more incremental and much harder to get. When you're a beginner, the changes are huge and amazing and fairly quick. But as you get to, you know, the better shape you're in, the harder it is to see a difference. And I have to tell you, I am shocked at what the changes I've been able to achieve and the muscle I've been able to put on at 52. And so my message is to everyone out there who's thinking you're too old to start, you're too old to get better. Absolutely not. The capacity for change, the capacity for improvement, the trainability that still exists in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I know you know who Alan Aragon is. I don't know if you know who his wife is, Jenna Aragon. She started training her parents in their 80s. And they've gone from being able to barely goblet squat a 15-pound dumbbell to like 150-pound deficit squats. It's unreal. Never lifted a day in their lives until they were in their 70s and 80s. And so if it's one message that I wanted to leave with everybody is that it is not too late for you. Don't beat yourself up for not starting before now. Don't beat yourself up for what you didn't know before now. Start now. You'll be shocked at where you can get to in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, and the impact that that's going to make on your life and your aging process and your health in the immediate and in the long term is remarkable. So I just want to leave people with that hope, that positivity, that knowledge that it is not too late for you. You can make remarkable change and have dramatic effects on your health. Absolutely.
That message there is just perfect. Like, I don't even like talking about weight loss anymore. I'm going to be honest. I don't like talking about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Because it's actually about what you can do, what you can achieve. Mm-hmm. As you said, you know, the research is clear. The evidence empirically is there. You strength train throughout your life. You will be in less pain. You'll have less health problems. So, and like I'm saying to the ladies I work with who all have a business, if you have a business, you want that to grow, then your health needs to grow with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The quality of your life is about the quality of your actions. Mm-hmm. And if you don't use it, you lose it.
Muscle is, you know, this is something that I heard at the conference and I loved it. We're not over fat, we're under muscled.
Oh yes. Dr. Gabrielle Lyons.
Absolutely. And the muscle is the longevity tissue. Muscle is going to make your life longer, better, healthier. Like the things that they're learning now, like the thing that blew my mind, and this wasn't from the conference, this was from a summit earlier in the year. They're starting to learn the role that lactate plays in the brain, that is a protective byproduct of muscle work that protects the brain. It increases neuroplasticity. They're starting to look at its role in preventing dementia and Alzheimer's, some of the most heartbreaking conditions of aging. It's not a normal part of aging. And the more we realize that it's, you know, the stronger that you are and the more muscle you can build throughout your lifetime, the better off you're going to be. And you're right. I don't like talking about weight loss either. I don't. It's basically irrelevant at this point. How strong can you get? What can you do? And, you know, I'm going to wrap it up kind of the way I opened it. That was the message, the overwhelming message that I would give my students that were 15, 16, 17, 18. Stop focusing on what your body looks like and focus on what it can do. And how it looks is just a side effect of what you are able to do and what you're capable of. And it's the same thing with my clients. It's the same thing with women in their 40s and 50s and 60s. It's about what you can do.
The body is just the representation of how you live your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
This has been like the most epic podcast ever. And I feel like we could go on and on and on and on and on. We could, you know, but yeah, I love this conversation and I want as many people to hear this message on repeat until they get it and take action. So
absolutely.
Go follow Alicia. She's awesome. She has the best rants too. You'll also turn you into a pretzel, but it's been such a pleasure having you come into my community as well over this last year and just been an awesome friend. So just want to say thank you.
I feel the same. I feel the same about you, my friend. And thank you for bringing me into your world and for my three-peat. I'm super stoked about that. And you're right. We could talk all day about all this stuff. And sometimes we do talk all day, but I was so pleased to come back and have this conversation with you and wrap up 2023 properly. And with some hope and some positivity and optimism for 2024. It's amazing. So, yeah.
There is one thing that we always do together though, right? So you got to take off your hoodie, Missy.
Oh shit. Okay. All right. I don't want to make it look crazy. So I'm just going to step out of the frame for a second.
Yeah. So just for the people who are listening to the podcast, as opposed to seeing this on YouTube, Alicia's getting the guns out.
All right. Sun's out, guns out. That's why I had to keep moving. Cause
always about the guns. I'm hoping that mine can compete.
So there you ready?
Go first. Yeah, I was going to say three,
one, two, three,
go. There you go. Check out the shape on that. You know, I can't even compete with that one. Yeah, I got some triceps.
Not bad. Yeah, that's always the best part.
It's always the best part, right? But this is a reflection of the work you do for yourself without compromising other parts of your life. And that's the key. It makes your life better.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And if you listen to this, share this episode with women who want to make positive changes in their life and go follow Alicia. I will make sure all of her buttons and links and stuff are all in the show notes. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.